You're listening to In Other News on KNBA 90.3 FM, bringing you news and views from the teen perspective, the stuff we care about straight from our mouths. In Other News is a production of the Alaska Teen Media Institute.
Welcome to In Other News, a production of the Alaska Teen Media Institute on KNBA 90.3 FM Anchorage. I'm Ish, the living metaphor.
And I'm Reed Brandt, BKA Young Lebowski.
Today, we're taking you 50 years into the past to reminisce on a moment that shook Anchorage to its core.
We also closely examined the connection between the science fiction show Fireball XL5 and the violent seismic activity.
Served alongside your typical news fare, we also have some side dishes of salubrious tunes and sounds, so don't touch that dial. Don't.
Okay, Venus?
Okay, Steve.
Right. Let's go.
Was a decent enough Good Friday evening in Anchorage Bowl. Families gathered around their tellies watching puppet adventures through space when suddenly things got wild.
Lifelong Alaskan resident Jim Curran was 7 when the earthquake of 64 hit. That day, Jim's family had plans to watch The Sword in the Stone, but before the movie, they sat down to watch the popular science fiction show Fireball XL5 in their Spinard home.
I was watching TV. It was one of a little black and white 12-inch thing sitting up on a cart. About halfway through the show, things get weird. The house starts shaking, and I roll over and I look up at the tiles in our ceiling, and they look like they're going about 4 feet one direction, 4 feet the next direction, 4 feet the other direction, 4 feet the other direction, and then all of a sudden I hear a bang and a thump, and about an inch and a half from my head is a television set. And then all of a sudden it stopped and everything was quiet. You might have heard a couple alarms going off, but it was dead quiet. And we're all looking at each other going, what the heck just happened?
Jim's family went out to assess the damage.
Some things sort of fell over, couple poles down, here's some horns in the distance, but it took us a while to gather things together to find out what happened. So we only had radio. Telephones were out. We were on fuel oil back then. Furnace went out, became disconnected. Electricity was out. That night we went ahead and we moved about half mile away to a friend's house, and we stayed there for 3-4 days. It took about a week for the electricity to get restored. Can't remember the phone and some of the other things, but we're kind of isolated, so we didn't see a lot of the devastation.
Luckily for Jim, the damage in Spinard was not as serious as it was in other areas of the town.
About 5 miles to the north, Turnagain, it just literally fell into the sea, and those people had lost everything. Our house, a couple fixes, furnace back online, and everything was fine, so good old slapdash construction worked.
It took about a month for things in Anchorage to get back to normal. But now, Jim enjoys being one of the few people who can tell you what it was like to experience the Great Alaska Earthquake of 64.
It's really funny to sit in a room full of people and someone says, was anyone here in the 64 earthquake? And there'll be maybe two of us out of 30 that'll raise our hands, because not many folks were here. How many folks were raised in Alaska and remember what went on?
Jim Curran, now a librarian at the LUSAC, has never and will never see The Sword in the Stone. With the Alaska Teen Media Institute, I'm Rob Stanley.
You're listening to In Other News, a production of the Alaska Teen Media Institute on KNBA 90.3 FM Anchorage. I'm Young Lebowski.
And I'm Ishmael Strever, a.k.a. the Malay Guevara. The piece you just heard was an eye-on-the-ground account of life in Spinard during the 64 quake.
Shout out to Robbie Ice Fans for delivering that frosty scoop. Now we're going to shake things up with a couple fire jams. Coming.
thought you were never good enough. Fall asleep right next to me. You know that you were never good enough. I never was in love. You know that you were never good enough. Fall asleep right next to me. You know that you were never
All right, I'm Michael Stormo, and that was Dev Hynes of Blood Orange, You Are Not Good Enough. Up next, we got Abby Dijon, Let You Know.
There's nothing wrong. Falling just a little bit more. There's something's wrong. Yeah, let me know. Just let me know. I can see right through you. Need somebody that'll comfort you. I can be that to you. You just gotta tell me what to do. Something going on.
That was Abby Dijon, Let You Know. Up next, you'll be hearing Hero by Frank Ocean, Diplo, and The Clash.
My flag is American, but I love some Queen. I'm young enough to vote and talk the trees. I'll be playing concerts in the mud,
until the sequel. I'll be finding subjects to paint in the buff behind the easel. I'm a bad boy. I'm a punk. I'm a black man. I could dunk. And I'm hanging low.
You're listening to In Other News on KNBA 90.3 FM. I'm John O'Hara, and I support Alaska youth through Alaska Teen Media Institute.
That was Frank Ocean, Diplo, and The Clash, Hero. I'll be back later with more music.
More music, that's right. This is In Other News, a production of the Alaska Teen Media Institute, where ignorance goes to die.
For those just tuning in to our wavelength, this has been a semi-centennial anniversary of the most devastating natural disaster ever recorded by human beings in North America.
Registering at an almost unthinkable 9.2 on the Richter scale, the 1964 earthquake inflicted what would today be worth billions of dollars in property damage. Over 100 people died as a direct result of the calamity, and according to the Statesman's Journal, a tsunami generated locally by the quaking earth killed 12 people as far south as Crescent City, California.
Lieutenant 90 sent out a general alert. This is an emergency.
Yes, sir.
Batten down the hatches, embrace your emotions. Our very own Michael Stormo has a piece that might just break your mental peace.
Mary Fedoroff was just 13 years old when the Good Friday earthquake of 1964 hit Alaska. At the time, she was known as Mary Miller and was living with her family on Fort Richardson Army Post. Her brother's high school graduation was approaching, so her family decided to go suit shopping.
This was about 2 hours before the earthquake, and we were in JCPenney, and I remember as my mom was looking through the racks, she broke a coat hanger, and she took it up to the salesperson, and I'll never forget this. Excuse me, she said, "Oh, well, if we're lucky, that won't be the worst thing that happens today."
The shopping was finished, and Mary and her family made it home in time to catch their favorite show.
It was called Fireball XL7, and my mom always let us eat in front of the TV because it came on at 5:30. And we were just sitting down, and the program began, and at the beginning of each of these programs, there was a firing of a rocket, a spaceship, where the characters, the little marionette characters, were shooting off for an adventure in space. And it was just as that was happening when we were sitting there and we heard this noise, and it sounded like a freight train. So shortly after that, everything began to shake. And that kind of was the beginning of our earthquake experience.
Mary says things were chaotic.
If you can imagine yourself in a paper bag that someone is just shaking and, you know, there's no control of it. That is exactly what it was like. Things were falling. It was extremely noisy. I remember looking out the window and the trees were just swaying back and forth like windshield wipers, and the ground was actually undulating in waves as though it were liquefied. And cars were jumping up and down and bouncing around in the parking lot behind our house. And it's just everything was totally out of control. We were trying to save things that we thought might fall. I had an old clock that belonged to my grandmother, and I was trying to pull that and put it down at the same time, but the floor is also shaking. So just trying to save something, you know, or to have something to hold on to.
After about 3 minutes, the earth stopped shaking, and Mary and her family made it through unharmed. Very little structural damage occurred on Fort Richardson. Downtown and the west side of Anchorage got it the worst.
They said that there was no phone service, weren't allowed to drink the water. And of course, at the time in the early 60s, when the Cold War was going on, we're all worried about a Russian attack. We all had bomb shelters and a lot of things in the basement in case we needed to have any resources that we needed to use. So we had water and we had food, but there was no electric, there was no gas. But it was days before we had the basic services, and of course a very long time before cleanup. You know, we're back in school probably the next week.
The experience didn't lead to any major changes in her life, but she says it is good to have a plan.
There's always the opportunity for that to happen, so you know, I guess you can always encourage people just to remain prepared in a basic way in case that happens, but not to live in fear or ultra anticipation about anything untoward happening. But, you know, just be aware and prepared.
Mary's now living in Portland, where she enjoys being closer to her son and the mild winters. For the Alaska Teen Media Institute, I'm Michael Stormo.
Well, boy, was she wrong about that coat hanger.
In a couple seconds, the vibes are about to transform. Let Michael Stormo's hand-picked playlist stimulate your mind and activate your senses.
She's a modern lover, it's an exploration. She's made of outer space. And her lips are like the galaxy's edge. And a kiss the color of a constellation falling into place. My days am best when the sunset gets itself behind that little lady sitting on the passing side. Much less picturesque without a catching the light, the horizon.
tries and tries, but it's just not as kind on the eye.
All right, you just heard Arabella by the Arctic Monkeys. Up next, Polisa Smug. You just heard Polisa, Smug. Up next, Fantagram, Don't Move. That was Don't Move by Fantagram. Up next, Life Round Here, James Blake.
Turn love is love early. We're never done. too long. Do what's well. Part-time love is all I can do. We've never done.
Listening to In Other News, a production of the Alaska Teen Media Institute on KNBA 90.3 FM.
Hi, I'm Betty Robards, licensed child and family therapist, and I support Alaskan youth.
That last song you heard was James Blake, Life Round Here. I'm Michael Stormo, and I'll be back in a little bit with a few more songs.
Welcome back. Right now you're listening to In Other News, the brainchild of Alaska Teen Media Institute. Omri, the human serviette, word to Nardwar.
And I'm Ish, the last living poet.
Up next, Chloe Cobal presents the story of Nancy Bidwell holding on for her life on 4th Avenue during the 1964 earthquake here in Anchorage.
On the day of the 1964 earthquake, 17-year-old Nancy Bidwell was in downtown Anchorage. That day, she grabbed some lunch and went to JCPenney's. Later, she wanted to see her boyfriend, who was ending his workday at the Alaska Cleaners as a delivery person.
And when the earthquake hit, I was just getting in the truck, the back of the truck. It was about 5:30, 5:35, right in there, you know, when the earthquake hit. And it was shaking. And I thought, oh, he's shaking the truck. You know, I just sat there. I thought, oh, and it got worse and worse. And all of a sudden, he appeared from behind the truck, his eyes as big as saucers, and I knew something was wrong. He wasn't shaking the truck. So shake, 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 shake. So we jumped out of the truck. We went alongside of the building, a brick building. We hung on to the parking meters because you couldn't stand up. And it wasn't just hanging on like that. We had them in our arms trying to hang on.
During the most chaotic parts of the earthquake, the ground began to break, and Nancy could hear a tremendous roar.
And people are screaming and hollering, and you could tell people were hurt, the ones that had fell down in the hole.
The bricks were falling off of the building next to them.
So we had to move. So we ran out in the middle of 4th Avenue and hung on to the fins of a 59 Cadillac. And I don't know if you know what one of those looks like, but it has huge fins on the back. He's on one side, I'm on the other, and we're just hanging on for dear life.
As they looked down the street, they saw the buildings dropping down. They started dropping closer and closer to Nancy and her boyfriend.
We think we're next. The road is just going to disappear under our feet.
I knew that was the end. I mean, you just knew, this is it. I'm going to die right here.
Then a cop came by and told them that Penny's had collapsed less than a block away.
So we ran down the street, went over to Penny's, and the whole side of Penny's had collapsed onto cars and people and everything. Then we started seeing people laying there dead on the sidewalk that had gotten hit by Penny's. A lady got hit, and it's like, oh, it was real. It was real then.
Nancy looked down the street and saw a little boy alone.
He couldn't have been 3, 4, 5 years old, all just crying all by himself, you know. And finally, a policeman came by and picked him up, and oh, it was horrible, just horrible.
At this point, Nancy and her boyfriend needed to find out what to do next. They asked a cop, but he only had bad news. Nancy's neighborhood, Turnagain by the Sea, was now Turnagain in the Sea.
I could not even get home or call or anything to find out if my parents and my 7-year-old sister were okay. I didn't know.
Nancy decided to go to her boyfriend's house in Elmendorf, which seemed like their only option. What would have been a 15-minute drive today took them 4 hours.
Every road we'd go down, it'd be collapsed. We have to back up and try another road, and oh, it was a nightmare.
Once they were in Elmendorf, they listened to calls every day on the ham radio, which was one of their only sources for information. Her boyfriend also had a wind-up radio, where they would listen to broadcasts from the Red Cross to find out what was going on.
It was really neat to listen to all these people looking for their relatives. And all of a sudden you'd hear a man come on, and he hasn't seen his daughter in a few days, and he's looking for her, and he describes her and her name and the last known place where she was. And then there'd be some little kids come on looking for their parents. And, it was tear-jerking, you know. Just that was the hardest thing, is to listen to people pleading, and myself included, you know, where's my parents? And has anybody heard from them or seen them? Or I always thought that. I thought, what if they're listening right now?
After about 3 days of waiting with no response, she was contacted.
They called on the phone, said they'd found my folks. So that was like the best thing that ever could happen, better than Christmas.
Nancy was finally able to get back to Turnagain. When she arrived, the National Guard was there.
I had no idea they were there. They got a big barricade. You can't get through. I didn't have any ID with me. Somewhere I dropped my purse and left it, so I had nothing. I couldn't prove I could go in there, see. I told them, call my dad. I just lived down the street there. So they call my dad. My dad comes up and rescues me, you know, and we get to go in the gate.
Everywhere she looked, it was like a snow globe had been turned upside down.
Then I was shocked. I could not believe what happened to my house. All the windows, of course, were broken. At least it was still standing, but it was off the foundation a little bit. And you could see huge cracks, big cracks in the ground you could put your arm in. And the inside of the house, I mean, was just totaled. And my mother, 3 days ago, had been making sauerkraut for dinner, sauerkraut and ham or something. There was still sauerkraut stuck on the walls. Yeah, and it stunk. It was horrible. I don't remember ever getting rid of that smell. Even a few years later, I could still smell sauerkraut. It was so sad because we had a 100-gallon aquarium and all the little fish and salamanders and everything and little frogs and all this. And when the earthquake hit, it went right through the basement door and down the stairs. And my bedroom was downstairs. Fish and salamander, everything all over the place, you know.
Nancy was very fortunate that her family was prepared when the earthquake hit, even though their shelter and supplies were actually meant for the Cold War. Like many houses in Anchorage, her family had a bomb shelter. In the 1960s, people were worried about being bombed by Russia.
Some people thought we'd been bombed. They thought, okay, it's happened. You know, Russia's bombed us. I never thought that. I don't know why I knew, but I knew it was an earthquake.
Soon the mood shifted, and everyone helped each other clean up the mess.
Days afterwards, we were going down there helping our friends climb down in, put ladders down so we could climb down in people's houses and help them get their stuff out and rescue their animals. And oh, geez, what a nightmare.
Nancy says it was the little things that helped with the cleanup. For example, because the water wasn't working, the National Guard set up irrigation pipes where each house could hook up to the hose to get water. Nancy's school was also destroyed. The first floor was damaged and most of the second floor had collapsed. Students from her school, Anchorage High School, now called West Anchorage High School, attended East High School until the damage was repaired. To this day, Nancy can still remember what it was like to be in the earthquake.
You know what it is? It's a feeling of helplessness. You don't know what to do. Nothing's ever happened like that before. There's no precedence of what do we do now? And it's such a shock at the moment that it's just helplessness. You're terrified. I start tearing up just talking about it because I can still remember every detail. I was fine. I didn't get killed. My parents didn't get killed. And so many people lost, you know, a loved one. A lot of people did get killed. So for them, it was even worse. It really makes you conscious, like they say, to live in the moment and not waste time on silly, petty stuff. And it really has that kind of an effect on people. It does change your life because you know it can be gone that quick.
During the quake, people were worried about their lives and their families. Material things didn't matter as much. With the Alaska Teen Media Institute, I'm Chloe Chobel.
You're dialed into In Other News, a production of Alaska Teen Media Institute on KNBA 90.3 FM Anchorage.
My dude, Teddy Bear with the Purple on, has some local events you could perhaps, you know, choose to attend if you happen to be free that night or whatever.
All right, here's what's going on. TBA's theater company production of Fiddler on the Roof is tomorrow at UAA's Wendy Williamson Auditorium at 7 p.m. It's a story of a milkman who must weigh his family's happiness against traditions that preserved a way of life in his village. Tomorrow is also the last day for this award-winning musical for all ages. More information on tickets, visit tbatheater.org. Tonight is a night of premieres for the Anchorage Sympathy Orchestra. You could hear the ASO premiere of Schumann's Towering Sympathy, Tracy Silverman's Overture of Strings and Between the Kiss and Chaos, followed by more everyday classics for all ages. It's from 8 to 10 p.m. You can visit myalaskacenter.com/events for more information on tickets. And on April 19th, 7:45 p.m., there will be an American drumming workshop with Jesse Wright for all ages. No experience is necessary. You can learn about different types of drums, gain knowledge on district rhythms from Guinea, Nigeria, Congo, Brazil, and Cuba. For more information about classes, visit openspacealaska.com. And how about some jazz with Ricky Zielinski presenting the fifth season of Jazz Masters at UAA Recital Hall. Each concert will showcase different jazz musicians. This show is on April 6th at 4 p.m. for all ages. More information on tickets, visit uaatix.com. And finally, tomorrow is the Great Alaskan Sportsman Show for all ages. More than 400 vendors will have booths with information on all there is to do in Alaska's outdoors. From fishing and hunting guides to camping and hiking info. Everything you need to plan for a fun summer. It's at the Sullivan Arena and Ben Boki Arenas tomorrow at 4 p.m. from 4 to 5 p.m. if you want to get started. With Alaska Teen Media Institute, it's your boy Teddy Shang, and let's go!
Word. If you end up peeping one of those shindigs and you see a fly white dude in... three-fourths and a five-panel strap back, don't be afraid to say what's up.
Yeah, you know what it is. It ain't too early for the three-fourths yet. It's spring. Anyway, the hour draws to a close, and we're nearing the final chapter of today's broadcast. Shouts to all my virgin brothers and sisters out there. Keep it real, and when the beat drops, be sure to use prophylactic.
Failing out, he curled his lips on the bow.
I'm Michael Stormo, and that was The Broken Bells, The High Road. Up next, Fire Shrine by Purity Ring.
Today, we're celebrating 10 glorious years of Youth Radio in Alaska. Find out more about how you can help us celebrate and be a supporter of the program at alaskateenmedia.org.
Well, that pretty much wraps up the show for today. I'd like to thank all of you for listening. Big thanks to Spirit of Youth, the Alaska Division of Behavioral Health, the Alaska Humanities Forums, and the Rasmus Foundation. Sorry if I messed that up. And to the supporters of this program, John O'Hara, Betty Robards, my bad again, Mary Rita Ely, and thank you for our adult counterparts, Sheridan Fox, Robert Stormo, and Rosenthal Robards.
Yo, shouts out the Rasmussen Foundation, sorry for messing that up. But if you're a teenager and you would like to craft great radio as well, join ATME. Find us online and listen to past stories at alaskateenmedia.org or call us at 907-272-2864. That's 907-272-2864. While you're at it, remember to check out KPASA, Anchorage Events page on Facebook. It's the juiciest site on the internet and is chock full of information on local events. Don't forget to tune into the next broadcast of Another News on Saturday, April 26th at 4 p.m. right here on KNBA 90.3 FM Anchorage.
Another News has been delivering the youth's perspective for a long time. Its first air date was in February 2004. I would like to give a quick shout out to all the folks that have been working, that have worked on making this the best radio program. Chloe Cobal, as well as our board operator, our DJ Michael Stormo, and of course, my co-host Ishmael Strever. I'm Reed Brandt.
Thanks for tuning in. I hope you dug the program as much as we dug making it. Assalamu alaikum to my mama Ima. I'll catch you kids on the flip side.
That last song you heard was Fire Shrine by Purity Ring. To close out the show, Electric Guest with Under the Gun.
So she packed a bag, halfway gone she called her dad. He said, baby girl, if you want free, you won't see me. She said, okay then, just let me be. Got some work to do.